We're going to do things a little different tonight. I'm going to read for us the passage in Timothy, and then we're going to follow along, and I'll read the appropriate questions and answers during the sermon and explain them. These two Lord's Days are particularly beautiful. They have a real flow and logic to them. And so I want us to see that tonight. And so we're going to use the catechism to guide us to see what the Word of God teaches about the kind of Savior we need and the provision of God of exactly the kind of Savior we need. But in light of that, we read what Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. This for the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Notice there, verse 5 and 6, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. We saw the last few weeks the tremendous problem that we have. Remember, the catechism helps us to understand how we can live in the comfort of knowing that Jesus Christ is our Savior in life and in death. And to live in that comfort, the catechism reminds us we need to know our sin and misery. And that's what the catechism has focused on. And we saw that our problem is that we hate God and our neighbor, that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined to all evil, and that God, because he is righteous, will not allow any sin to go unpunished. That's our problem. Now, I have a tendency to ignore certain rattles in my car. But through experience, I have learned the rattles don't go away by themselves. They normally become bigger problems if you ignore them. Many people ignore the reality of their sin. They would rather not deal with the problem. But you see, it's only when we face the problem that we can find the solution. And now, in Lord's Day 5 and 6, we have a bridge from the enormity of our sin, the enormity of the trouble we're in, to how God has made provision for us. You see, to live in that comfort, we not only need to know our sin and misery, but we need to know how we are delivered from our sin and misery. And it's right here that these two Lord's Days are so helpful. Now notice where Lord's Day 5 begins. According to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment both now and in eternity. How then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor? That's the question, isn't it? When we come face to face with our sin and the fact that God's anger rests on us because of it, how can we get out from that punishment? How can we restore to favor with God? God requires, the Catechism says, that His justice be satisfied. Which means there is only one way. It's God's way. And it must be done in a way in which God remains just. Therefore, the claims of this justice must be paid in full, either by ourselves or by another. So, there is a way. If we can fully satisfy God's justice, then we can be restored to favor with Him. Now, the Catechism points out we can do it ourselves, or we can find someone else to do it in our place. Can we do it ourselves? That's the next question. Can we make this payment ourselves? Now, that would be easier, wouldn't it? Because we don't have to persuade someone else to do it for us. We can take care of it ourselves. But if we are truly who we've already seen the Bible teach us we are, sinful by nature, the problem is we can't fix our problem. Actually, we increased our debt every day. So if we try and measure up to God's justice, we're not going to get the debt worked down. Actually, it's going to increase. The prophet Isaiah, in probably one of the most haunting verses, says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds, our best deeds, the best we do, are like polluted garments. We all fade like a leaf. and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. You see, our sin is so overwhelming that even the best that we do, the very things that we think are most righteous, are like polluted garments. Now, the language is much more vivid in the original. These are menstrual rags, not what we want to talk about politely, but it tells you what our righteous deeds looks like in the sight of God. They are not worthy of God. That's where we are. And so, if it's our problem, we're stuck. But maybe, since we can find a substitute, maybe we should pick a number. And one of you, maybe the unhappy person who can be the substitute for all of us. Maybe one of you would, maybe you want to volunteer to say, I'll bear the judgment for all these people so that they may go free. Maybe if we find a substitute, we can be restored. But listen to what the Catechism says as it summarizes God's word. Can another creature, any at all, pay this debt for us? No. To begin with, God will not punish any other creature for what a human is guilty of. So, I know there are a few cows around. We might have found one or two to sacrifice, to stand in our stead, but they won't do because we have sinned. And that means our only another human can be our true substitute. Furthermore, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal wrath against sin and deliver others from it. And here's the problem, isn't it? We cannot bear even our own sin. Now, the enormity of this problem is so hard for us to grasp. You know, an eternity in hell does not atone for our sin. It cannot make up. That's the enormity. Because you see, our sin is against God, who is eternal and infinite. And therefore, the offense will be punished with an eternal and infinite punishment. So how can a finite creature or another human even begin to bear that weight? So if you were ready to volunteer, you're off the hook. It won't work. Because what we need is someone who is like us, but more than us. What kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then? One who is true and righteous man, yet more powerful than all creatures. That is one who is also true God. Do you see our need? We need one who is made in the image of God like we are. But he shouldn't be like us. He should be better than us. Because he must be one who has no sin himself. Because if he has sin himself, he can't pay for us. But he must also be more than man. That's what Lord's Day 6 explains. Why must the mediator be a true and righteous man? Because God's justice requires that the human nature which has sinned must pay for its sin. But a sinner cannot pay for others. So we need one who has no sin of his own, one who is perfect in his own walk with God, and yet, just like us, fully human. But he must also be true God. Why? Ask question 17. So that by the power of his divinity, he may bear in his humanity the weight of God's wrath and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. Do you hear? He needs to be not only man, but God. God, so that he can deal with the infinite punishment that we deserve. But he needs to be a man who has no sin of his own. Now, here's the question. Where is there such a person? One who is fully human and at the same time, God. Then, who is this mediator? True God and at the same time a true and righteous man, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was given to us for a complete deliverance and righteousness. You know, the problem is that because we know the Bible story, we run. We know Jesus is the, you know, there's basically two answers to the question, whatever question. The catechism students know it. It's either sin or Jesus. You will probably be right. Whatever the question is, if you answer with one of those. But you see, the problem is, because we know Jesus is the one, we forget that this is not ordinary. We forget that there is in all of the universe only one such mediator, and there could have been only one such mediator. The fact that he willingly submitted himself to become a man. The fact that he willingly bound himself to do for us what no one else in all of the universe could do should remind us of the enormous privilege and blessing to know him as the Savior. It's not ordinary. And when he committed himself, he committed himself knowing what is required. And what is the requirement? The requirement is to humble himself, as Paul says in Galatians, to be born of the women born under the law. He who made all the world. He who is the Lord who controls nature. I was at Grade School Chapel on Friday, and I spoke to the kids about Jesus walking on the water. He is displaying that he is God. Nature is under his rule. The Egyptians, I told them, in their hieroglyphic language, had a sign for the impossible, 2 feet over water. They understood. Jesus could do that because he's Lord. And yet, when he came to obey the very law of God, to live under the authority of his own law. Why? Because you and I need him to. Because we can't obey God's law. We can't perform the righteousness that is needed. But not only does he obey God's law for us. Paul says here in verse 6 that Jesus Christ gave himself as a ransom for all. And it's a very unique word he used here. A substitute ransom. One who gives himself in the place of others. Still today, and especially what's going on in the news, we know that to get someone who has been kidnapped back, you have to ransom them. You have to pay a ransom price. And the biblical language of ransom is specific. It was used for the purchasing of slaves. And it reminds us that our sin has brought us in bondage under the judgment of God. And how are we going to get free? It's only going to happen if the price is fully paid. If all of the judgment that we deserve is fully exhausted. Do you see? Not only did we need a unique Savior, being both God and man, but we need a unique Savior who has the heart to save, who willingly wanted to do this, to step into the whirlwind of God's wrath and judgment that is ours. And he does it willingly, who gave himself. You see, he is truly our great high priest, the high priests in the Old Testament, they brought sacrifices. This high priest, the sacrifice he brings is himself. He gave himself. He gave himself so that he may restore fellowship with God. Now, do you see what a wonder it is? When Paul says, for there is one God, all the commentators point to the fact that this is a restatement of the Jewish key confession, the Shema, Deuteronomy. But now Paul doesn't merely state the oneness of God. He says, and there is one mediator between God and men. There is only one who can restore fellowship with God. Only one. Buddha won't do it. Muhammad won't do it. None of the other religions can do it. It can only be this mediator, the man Christ Jesus. He became like us in everything, except for sin. Now do you see what a tremendous blessing it is to know Jesus Christ? There's no one like him. There's no one who can replace him. And if you have him, you need no one else. All we need is in Christ. Amen. Let's pray.